Welcome to Season 3 of the Leadership Educator Podcast, your source for knowledge and expertise on facilitating leadership learning. Are you passionate about leadership education? Do you want to expand your resource toolbox with practical strategies for teaching, learning, and program design? Well, this is the podcast for you. If you haven't done so already, please hit subscribe so that you'll never miss an episode.
Well, hello and welcome to the Leadership Educator Podcast. My name is Dan Jenkins and I'm Chair and Associate Professor of Leadership at Organizational Studies at the University of Southern Maine.
And I am Lauren Bullock, Assistant Professor of Instruction at Temple University, and we are both super excited for this episode of the Leadership Educator Podcast.
We sure are, Lauren. So we're back to teaching. It's fall 2020, just how we imagined it, right?
Exactly how I pictured it a year ago today on this day.
That's right. So we're going to talk today about what does it look like finding and facilitating activities in the virtual space. So I'm teaching two classes this fall. So I'm chair of my department. So I get a course release and a small stipend that I can fill up my gas tank with maybe once or twice during the course of the semester. But I'm teaching a graduate seminar in leadership theory that is a combination of master's students and a few doctoral students. And then an intro seminar to leadership, which is undergraduates predominantly, and some first time in college students, because we've actually offered that class to some of our our entry year experience, university experience, first year academic program type of class. So, and what are you teaching this fall, Lauren?
Oh, what I have a full load, but it's so interesting. You're teaching like both ends of the spectrum, like
yes,
graduate students and first. Yeah, that's such a like a diverse population. Those are diverse populations, and that's definitely an interesting skill set to have to be able to. Anyway, we can talk about that later. My teaching load. So I teach four classes. I also have admin responsibilities, but for the most part, I'm focused on. I straddle teaching leadership classes and teaching public relations classes. And I'm teaching a first year, one lower level communicating leadership course where I talk with students and we help them figure out who they are as a leader and how they communicate that to other people. So it's very much increasing and enhancing self-awareness, things like that.
Sure.
And we talk like values, skills, competencies, and then how are they talking about that and showing that to other people? And then I teach a course I've taught forever, leading groups and team building. And it's, what strategies can students adopt to work effectively in groups and teams? And so with those courses, I love it. I have a ton of fun. And then I get to flip and focus on the public relations side. So it's still PR, it's still communications, and there's some overlap. We talk about org structure and org leadership in those classes as well. But that's my teaching load. So I straddle kind of two different worlds, week to week. Well, I guess afternoon to morning instead of week to week, because I teach all day, Tuesday, Thursday.
And they're both synchronous?
So all synchronous undergrad courses and 1,000, 2,000 level primarily. I do probably every fourth or fifth semester teach a 3,000 level public relations writing course. But for the most part, I'm working with freshmen, sophomores, maybe some juniors, depending on if they put, like some students love me and they put off taking my group's class until it's available and it fills up really quickly. Mm-hmm. So they put off taking that class. So they may be seniors trying to take this 2000 level course because it's not a prereq for anything else, but mostly sophomores and juniors I'm working with on a regular basis.
Very good. Yeah. So both my classes are synchronous too. And so the graduate classes was designed as blended. So we meet about eight times, I think, through the course of the semester. That's an evening class, 2.5 hours. And the primary text is a theory reader. We use Hughes, Jennett, and Kerfey's Leadership Lessons from Experience, Adaptive Leadership, the Wren Leader's Companion, which is a favorite combination of articles and things of that nature. As supplementary reading, and then the undergraduate class, Intro to Leadership, that's a 200 level class, and that we're using Kamavez Lucas McMahon's Exploring Leadership for College Students Who Want to Make a Difference, and then one of my favorite collections of case studies, A Day in the Life of the College Student Leader by Marshall and Hornack, which is like 140 like case studies for undergraduate student leaders, which is always a fun one. So teaching both those classes via Zoom. I've got about 27, I think, students in the undergraduate class, and 18 to 20, depending on what it looks like at the end of the week. It's ad drop. It's still ad drop for us. And so we will see, but graduate enrollment is up like 20-something% at the institution. And that trends with a recession. So that's where we're at. So we're going to talk about, you know, what are we doing in our classes, and how have these things been working for us as we're utilizing the virtual space? I think my go-to, which it has been, and I've talked about this on the podcast before, I lucked out in some ways that we had been teaching synchronously for about 6 years or so in our department, particularly at the graduate level. And the mode before we started using Zoom was Adobe Connect. It was clunky. Then we started Zoom. So we would have students in the classroom, about 50% of them, and then the other 50% would remote in via Zoom. We're not on campus anymore, so now everybody's on Zoom. And I always thought that, hey, let's use a Google Doc. We can put our agenda on there. But also, if you're like, hey, students, you know, everybody write down what themes you had, or what questions do you have from the reading, or what are two things that you learned from a conversation that we just had. And everybody can just add their information to the Google Doc, and being able to share the screen and all those types of things that creates an interactive space that you can use for a variety of different things. Just depends how creative you want to be. One of the activities that I ran in both of my classes last week, that first week of class type of activity is, and this is one of my favorites forever. I actually took it from a very similar activity was shared in the instructor's guide for the Exploring Leadership for College Students Who Want to Make a Difference that I just talked about, but it was the second edition. And it was a PDF. If you Google this, you'll find it. And it has activities for the second edition of that textbook. I learned, and I don't know if we've shared this on the, or maybe it was during the Julie Owen podcast, that she had a team of graduate students that were with her when her and a bunch of her colleagues were going to University of Maryland. They did this as one of their group projects or semester projects around leadership education. And it is an amazing instructor's guide. And it talks about what to do on that first day. And so what we have students do is imagine the best class they've ever had and the worst class they've ever had. And they write down behaviors that occurred in those two classes to get an idea of that sense of like, what does a good experience and a bad experience look like? I later came across some articles that were similar about first day of class activities that opened that up to actually looking at what did the teacher do in those two scenarios, that best class and that worst class, and what did the students do in that best class and that worst class? And so you start to get these really, really interesting, this really interesting picture starts to get drawn, if you will, by what the students prepare or what they offer. And so I create two tables, best class, worst class, with two columns in each one, what the teacher did, what the students did. And I just say, everybody add, think about, you know, just, and then just watching the Google Doc with like 25 students on there. And it's just like, you know, just like everybody, you know, adding their thoughts. And then these key themes emerge around like levels of engagement and respect and collaboration, expectation, communication levels, access to resources, how willing the professor is to entertain questions and you know, meet students where they're at and things like that. And we take that conversation into a conversation about leadership and followership and that reciprocation, because what the students always find is that if the teacher's engaged, the students are engaged. If the teachers are disengaged, the students are on their phones or they're sleeping or they're not coming to class or they're not prepared or what have you. And so then we say, hey, you know, what type of class do you want to have? They all want to have the best class. And so I say, hey, hold me accountable. We can do this. And I had always done that on the board before, on the dry erase or the chalkboard or what have you. But I found that that was a super easy activity to transfer to the collaborative document space.
I actually will share. I stole that idea from you in my own class. Yeah. So I don't know where I was and you showed me that. And I was like, ooh, yeah, I'm going to steal that. And I think I saw you do it with a Word document and loved it. And so like in my class the other day, we did a group scenarios class and I created the Word document with the chart that I wanted them to use in the class and then put the scenarios underneath and all the instructions, because students always forget instructions when they go into breakout rooms. And so I dropped the link. I said, open up this link before you jump into the room. They went in, they came out, and it was really seamless. So I stole that for sure from you.
Yeah, no, that's such an important thing to note. For that's things I've learned using Zoom is that's one of the things that's been helpful, is providing that link so all the students have access to that shared, I just call it my class agendas, Google Doc. So that link is something they're always, you know, I make sure everybody is logged onto, because I've learned that as soon as you put them in breakout rooms, they lose the chat and they lose the shared screen. So as long as they can go back to that, but sometimes I will copy and paste the questions or whatever the instructions are into the chat so that they don't, I learned the lesson the hard way where students were in breakout rooms for like 10 minutes and they can't chat with you, you know, they can't, there's no way for them to connect with you. Mm-hmm. And so, mm-hmm. you know, then they just lose that 10 minutes.
I'll say the other thing too is some of my students are logging in from phones because their phones are a little mm-hmm. bit more secure. And if I'm asking them to do different activities, when they go into the group space, they don't have that pressure of trying to get to a computer or worrying about, you know, if they can participate. Somebody in the group, inevitably explains it, so that then they actually get it and they can still participate. So like, if you're worried about access, then using those tools in breakout rooms is so important, because the other students, I mean, college students nowadays believe in general in the common good. And so they get in those spaces and we're like, we don't want you to not be involved. Yeah, come on in and let's do this work. So I find that that's helpful.
Yeah. And that's one of those situational factors to keep in mind. And I'm bringing that up because one of the things that you should absolutely keep in mind when you're designing programs and courses is, you know, what am I trying to get to here? So we talked about something that might be used as like an icebreaker or like setting ground rules or expectations for the class, but for any activities that you're going to be designing as part of your class, I love to use, and a lot of my colleagues joke with me about this, but Dee Fink, who wrote a book called Creating Significant Learning Experiences, and he ran the Center for Teaching and Learning at University of Oklahoma for like 25 years or something like that. We've actually brought him to come speak a couple of times at University of Southern Maine, and he was somebody I was introduced to in graduate school. He has this model of integrated course design, and he says, hey, here's what you need to do. He says, identify your situational factors. That's the first step. And some of those are like, are you teaching online? How old are your students? What's the nature of the content? Like, you know, what's the characteristics of the teacher? Like, what are you good at? You know, how many students are in the class? What time is the class? You know, so once you've got that, and that influences everything else, which are the next steps, which are, what do I want students to learn? Which are your learning goals or learning objectives or learning outcomes, whatever you want to call them. And then how will the students and the teacher or the instructor or the facilitator know if these goals are being accomplished? So once you've got those learning goals, like what's your feedback and assessment going to look like? And then finally, what are you going to do, the instructor and the students, in order for the students to achieve those learning goals? And that is what teaching and learning activities are going to be appropriate. And then you want to integrate those. You know, you want to make sure that they support and reinforce each other. And so, you know, I think about all of the things that activity that I shared about best class, worst class, it sets expectations. It also gives students a chance to use the Google Doc and get used to that tool that we're going to be using the rest of the semester. And it gives them an opportunity to do some analysis and synthesis of the themes. So we're hitting all kinds of different levels of Bloom taxonomy and developing some skills that they're going to need. Also modeling an inclusive process that I hope that we're going to cover or continue to do throughout the course of the semester.
Yeah, you bring up some great points about aligning best practices pedagogy with these virtual spaces. I spent over the last year, I took two graduate courses on teaching. I took the courses so I could observe how faculty members taught future faculty about building relationships. But one of the things I learned through all of this is best practices in person mirrors best practice online. So the same way you would teach students in person how to use tools within the course would be the same way you would teach students in a virtual space how to use those tools. I also love the imagine technique. So I recently learned about that, where you, instead of asking students a question directly, you say, imagine you were in this space and your role was X, and then ask them the same question, because it removes the pressure of getting like the right answer or getting a specific answer to the question. And it allows them to really visualize the space that they're in so that they can better think of potential ideas to adopt to that space. And so that you just, I mean, you said twice how you said, like, imagine your best class, imagine your worst class, like that simple technique. I picked that up, I think, from The Art of Asking, which is a great resource for constructing questions in general. But that technique I love. I'll also add too, so I've seen the Microsoft or the Google Docs used. I actually used Excel or Google Sheets in one of my classes where I had students comparing different writing tools. And so I paired them together and assigned them a tool, and they did all of the research and put all of that information into one grid. And then once everyone was done, we stepped back and we looked at the grid and said, okay, what do we agree with? What do we think needs more research? What questions do we have? And then we jumped back in and started editing it. And then after they were done with that, they could use that tool for writing the rest of their assignments in this for the rest of the semester. So it was a creative way to get them to analyze and compare the tools that they had access to, as well as kind of get them to do the reading, get them to do research, increase their information literacy, stuff like that. So when you're thinking about Collab Docs, yes, Google Docs is great, but there are also other tools like Slides and Sheets that you can use that are just as effective as well.
Yeah, for sure. And so there's one that I just came across in the last couple of weeks that I'm totally geeking out on or about, which is part of the Google Suite. And I learned that the University of Maine system had recently added it to the group there called Jamboards. And I came across it kind of in a odd path. So I was having conversation with Carrie Priest, who we've had on the show before. She teaches at Kansas State University. And I said, oh, you know, I'm disappointed this semester because I'm not going to be able to do my Four Corners activity. And, you know, the 22nd version of that is you put up signs in four corners of the classroom, agree, strongly disagree. And you throw out questions like, Hitler was a good leader, or, you know, you need to be charismatic to be a good leader, or you can lead without followers, you know, these types of things. And students go to wherever corner or part of the room. Sometimes they stand in the middle of the room, what have you. And then you can just call, hey, Joey, what do you think about that? Hey, you know, Lauren, what's going on with why do you strongly disagree with that statement so much? And disappointed that I couldn't find a way to do that in the virtual space other than being like calling on people randomly, be like, hey, where did you fall on that continuum? Like, you know, that doesn't work for me. And so Carrie said, oh, well, I just did a demo with this tool called Mural. And she's like, oh, I paid the educational license fee. And so I looked at that, and it is this digital, it's Mural, Mural.co. And it's a digital whiteboard. And the purpose of it is it's a design ops canvas. And so I got an educational license to trial and started playing around with it. And then I started Googling what were some templates for that, because I wanted to find this particular Four Corners template or process. You know, had somebody put this together, because they had maybe 75 or 100 templates. And somebody had posted this article about Jamboards. And there's this website, ditchthattextbook.com. And this particular one was ditchthattextbook.com/Jamboard-templates. And this guy, Chris Zanjner, if I'm saying his name right, he teaches kindergarten, or he used to in Minnesota, and he put together these templates. And so if you're not familiar with a Jamboard, it is just like the mural, but it's through the Google Suite. It's a digital white space, whiteboard, where you can add sticky notes, drawings, images. You can search Google and insert images and web pages. You can move images and texts and notes all on a screen. You can resize it and drag, and it's interactive. Everybody can jump on it just like a Google Doc or a Google Slide. And so one of his templates was actually the Four Corners template. And it was just basically A, B, C, D, like, where do you fall? And, you know, in 30 seconds, I was able to add strongly agree, disagree, strongly disagree to this template, this quadrant. And then I was like, and then you can just add a text box or a picture of yourself, or you can just draw, but all your students can come onto this Jamboard and just create a little text box. And as soon as somebody's on there, you see their icon. So you like it, their name appears next to their mouse, wherever it is. So you can have, you could just say, okay, we have, you know, 60 seconds, put your name next to where you fall on this continuum or this quadrant or what have you. And boom, you're done. You've got four corners. In fact, when we were prepping for this episode, another idea came to me because I'm teaching my graduate seminar tonight, and we're going to look at the levels of follower engagement, which is the Kellerman model of follower engagement, when she talks about, you know, are you an isolate? Are you a bystander, a participant, an activist, or a diehard? Like, how engaged are you as a follower? And what I used to do is like say, hey, where are you guys on this continuum? And instead I'm like, you know what? I'm going to copy and paste that diagram and I'm going to put it a link to it in the Jamboard into my class agendas, Google Doc. They're going to link to that because I try to keep all the technology within the Google suite if I can. And then I'm just going to have them put their name next to where they fall on this level continuum of levels of engagement. That's a little bit more interactive. And I'm like, if you hear that I'm excited, like I'm excited because these are the types of things that I'd like to do in the classroom, but because COVID, that physical space has created this limitation. But to go back to what Scott Allen said on our podcast a few months ago, it's same what, different how, you know, and this is our how, is to utilize these jam boards. And so, you know, take a look if your university is using the Google Suite, and so many are, to see if you have that jam board activated. And if not, hey, check with your IT folks and be like, hey, are you Center for Teaching or what have you on your institution, and say, hey, can we add this? It is part of the Google Suite. So yeah, I'm giddy about using it and seeing how students react.
I can tell you are, because when we were prepping and you were showing to me, I could see all of the excitement in your face. And it's true. It's truly a great tool. And I think it also helps us shift from how, like you said, like Scott Allen said, you know, you can't focus on, you know, what has happened. You can focus on how can I make this a great learning space? And you would ask that question, I think, regardless of if you were in person or face to face. I do agree. I love the disagree, strongly agree. I love the four corners game. And that tool is an easy way to get students engaged in giving feedback. Digital Visual Explorer is another one. I know we talk a lot about using images in teaching, and they're a great resource. And I know for me, I was thinking about how can I replace like the card decks that I have with in this new virtual space. I can't mail everybody their own card. And so there's so many tools out there that are super helpful. Digital Visual Explorer, I think I saw that with you. We were at a conference. I sat in on one of your sessions, right, and you used it in training and I loved it. Also in your book, Transforming Learning, Instructional and Assessment Strategies for Leadership Education, the one you wrote with Kathy Guthrie and others, or associates,
that's right,
whatever these associates are.
Mm-hmm. Lots of friends.
That book had a ton of great activities and resources. And one of the things I pulled from that one was the online values card sort. So I'm that person that has the leadership challenge values deck, and I borrowed them from our leadership office on campus to facilitate in a group of like 30. In my comm leadership course, we start with values, strengths, skills, that conversation, so people kind of know who they are and what's, and know exactly what's important to them rather than guessing. And so I was like, I can't mail everybody a deck, and I don't want them to pay, you know, that money if they're only going to use it once. Usually they do love it. But again, in this new world, you know, there were a lot of things that were in the air. But in that book, I found some online options for that, including a link to a URL, as well as a downloadable Microsoft template that you could have students print out and cut up if they wanted to create that. And so there are so many virtual tools out there that are popping up that help us, you know, continue to do the work that we've done in this online space. Like, we don't have to stop doing this work. I know you use Digital Explorer as well, right?
Yeah, I do. And so we used it in a variety of different ways. So I've actually used it three times in the last couple of weeks, because we also had our residency for our first class of doctoral students. We have a PhD in leadership studies now, and we had 12 incoming students. We had hoped that it was going to be a 2.5-day on-campus residency, but again, COVID. And so we did 5 2.5-hour Zoom sessions, Friday mornings, Saturday afternoon with the 2-hour break, same thing on Saturday, and then Sunday morning. And we asked them something to the effect of like, you know, choose an image from the deck that represents like why you chose this master's program. The one that we did for the doctoral students was choose an image that represents like how you feel about like getting into a PhD program, or what that like looks like or feels like for you. So there was like one of like paratroopers jumping out of an airplane, you know, and like people taking like a leap or something like that, and just like going into like uncharted territory. But there's this whole great connection with the brain and developing visual literacy through these images and metaphors and using these types of things. It just really, really, really challenges students to think about things in different ways and gets them to be a lot more explanatory and descriptive and illustrative in the way that they share these ideas about their feelings, which is one of the conduits of the visual explore tools provide. And in my intro class, the intro to leadership, the undergraduate class, I had them choose an image that I said, you know, represented leadership as you currently understand it, you know, and then talk a little bit about what they hope to get out of the class. And so there's so, you just have to be really, really explicit with the prompt. Like, it needs to be short and simple. Like, why did you sign up for this PhD program? What is leadership? You know, and these are the types of things that really, really lend themselves well to that. And having that digital deck of images, and it was just recently updated. So if you're looking to, it's open source leadership.ventures/visual explorer. And that takes you to their 2020 edition of their images. They are very intentional to be culturally inclusive. Images from all over the globe. They include animals and people and things from nature. And it's just, you know, it's such a great tool that can be used in so many different types of ways.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. I think it like reaffirms that as we as leadership educators are teaching other people about change and adapting and, you know, really focusing on your followers, we also need to model that in our classrooms. I also, like, I've attended a couple of sessions this summer about energizers, icebreakers, and engaging activities. And all of, you know, kind of shared the same things. Like, one, you have to bring that energy to the space. Two, you have to not only speak, but you also have to write. So where you just said you have to be clear and succinct with your prompt, I will say my prompt, I will have it on the screen. I'm very much, my students like PowerPoint slides. So I use PowerPoint, but they're not heavy with text or anything like that, as well as dropping it in the chat or making sure that the instructions are in that Google document. We can't assume that we can just say them and they get it. We have to have multiple forms just in case they're not paying attention because of like at-home distractions, right? So I think we talked about a lot of good ideas and good resources for those who have to facilitate in virtual spaces. Is there anything you have to add or you want to add to this?
Yeah, the only thing I'd add was it's so funny you talk about that we got on this kind of intentional, but like still on the same topic, tangent of the, you know, setting those expectations around the instructions. In my feed this morning, I subscribed to the Faculty Focus, which is, it's a Magna Publications newsletter. And the name of the article for today was titled, When the Directions Are the Problem. And so it's an article by David Coker that talks specifically about like being clear with your expectations and the rules and how you lay out those activities and the information that you provide to your students, whether it also needs to include rubrics or templates or things of that nature. So if you get a chance, you know, and it incorporates or grounds the idea into social learning theory, which I thought was just a really great approach. And it's just a great resource. The articles are usually 500 to 750 words, and it's all focused on teaching and learning in higher education.
Yeah, I agree. I read that. I get the same resource as well. And the thing I appreciate is they'll have really short articles, but then when you click, there's like a massive amount of articles that you can go back through. And they were having these conversations before it came to the forefront. So a lot of stuff I've been seeing has been new content that they have refashioned based on, you know, COVID-19, civil unrest, and kind of the uncertainty we're living in. But then also some ways they're reactive to how online learning or online instruction is changing learning, period. So it's like setting the tone, but then also kind of bringing some of that stuff back. And they're there for different levels. So some of the trainings I had to go through at work were fine, but they were very entry level. So because I had already gone through an online teaching certificate, as well as a grad class in innovation and tech and higher education, there were some things that I'm like, okay, like I know Flipgrid, you know, I know how to use the chat, I know how to do breakout sessions, and they have just varying levels of information for wherever you are on that spectrum. But I think we could talk about this forever. We're going to wrap up this episode. Thank you for joining us. We will talk to you later.
That wraps up this episode of the Leadership Educator Podcast. And so, you know, one of the things that
we think about as we reflect on the work we've done together, and particularly this season, is how we've been doing this podcast remotely via Zoom since the start. And some of the equipment that we looked at getting right off the bat was equipment that you would record a podcast in the same, you know, studio or live, but we knew that that wasn't going to be a luxury that we had. Who knew that, looking forward and reflecting on that, that this is pretty much how, you know, I mean, even the Daily Show, the Daily Social Distancing Show, everything is being recorded remotely. And so we're following suit with that, and certainly keeping our 6 feet of CDC social distance.
Absolutely.
So with that, we invite you to follow us on Twitter. So I'm at @Dr_leadership, and Lauren is at @MrsLaurjb. That's Miss Laur JB. We encourage you to listen to the full episodes as they're released, as we can only share a fraction of the amazing stories that we share and that our guests share. You can find the episodes wherever podcasts are available. And we also encourage you to subscribe and rate us 5 stars, as the more you rate us, the easier it is for others to find us.
We would like to thank the James M. Cox Jr. Institute for Journalism, Innovation, Management, and Leadership within the Grady College of Journalism and Mass Communication at the University of Georgia. The support was facilitated by Dr. Keith Herndon, William S. Morris Chair in News Strategy and Management.
And our wonderful theme music was composed, performed, and mixed by Dr. Matthew White, trumpeter, composer, and educator, and he's currently the Associate Professor of Trumpet, Coordinator of Jazz and Commercial Music, and Director of Ensembles at Coastal Carolina University. You can check him out at www.mattwhitejazz.com. Matt, thanks so much for sharing your musical genius with our audience.
And finally, thank you to the Association of Leadership Educators. Check out what the ALE has to offer at leadershipeducators.org. We hope you listen as well as share with your leadership friends.